Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment, I will be joined by Lockwood Phillips. This is the week that America pulled out of the climate change agreement. Trump's decision came too late for our discussion, but you can pick up the growing underlying current of dissatisfaction with the Trump administration. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world this afternoon, joined by Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And yes, this portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate our guests or our foreign editors. Beauty sleep, which he is always in need of, as I like to point out. I, on the other hand, well, I just don't need it. Anytime. All right, Tom, with that introduction, good afternoon to you, or good evening to you. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Good evening to you. And Lockwood, may I suggest buying a new mirror?
Oh, who needs a mirror? I just know I look that good. All right. With that bit of an introduction and opening, let's talk about, things in the United Kingdom. Before we even get started about the issue of politics, first quick question, what's the weather like there, just out of curiosity?
It's a bit overcast today, but it's been really quite nice, you know, late spring, early summer. It's very pleasant. I've been lying in the hammock a few times, been out in the garden. It's very nice. We had a Pimm's party on Sunday, or was it Saturday? Pimm's is a British cocktail, and everyone got tipsy and had a good time.
Oh, well, sorry we weren't invited, but next year.
You just didn't turn up.
All right. Well, let's talk about the events there in the United Kingdom. I want to start with the aftermath of the Manchester bombing and things of that nature, and then we'll get into the influence of that of the British election. But what's we've seen now, the number I think is well above 10, I want to say 16 people that have apparently been arrested in connection with the Manchester Arena bombing, now almost 2 weeks old. What's been the news coverage? What's the experience? What's the feeling there in London and in the rest of the United Kingdom?
Well, I get the impression that they're all trying to pull together. Is the first overriding impression. As for the number of arrests, the latest thing to come out of the newspapers and out of the Metropolitan Police and in Manchester is that the 16 will probably be released.
Mm.
They now think that there's a very strong likelihood that Salman Abedi was acting alone. It's not certain yet, but they have followed his movements very carefully in the 4 days before the bomb went off, and he didn't really see anyone. It looks as if he bought all the materials for the bomb himself.
You know, in some regards, that's also a little frightening because it promotes the concept of lone wolf activities, and they're harder to chase down. And this is my observations, and I want to get your opinions on this. The lone wolves are harder to identify and chase down than if it's part of a grander conspiracy, that there's a group and an association and communications going on. So that strikes me as that should be a concern. Or what's the feeling there in the UK and in Great Britain?
I couldn't agree with you more. For one thing, over the past 7 or 8 years, you know, there have been very few attacks, and most of the attacks have been these lone wolves. The MI5 and MI6, who are the intelligence agencies, have stopped at least a dozen attacks, which they were able to track by looking for groups and monitoring those groups. Now, if Abedi was not part of one of these groups, it's very difficult to locate him before the attack.
Right.
A lone wolf, you're right. He's very difficult to find and stop.
Okay, and the other aspect of this relates to the internet and communications. Is there any sense that tracking down, if you will, the source of his knowledge for building an explosive device, but also, if you will, the philosophical motivation to do what he did?
Yes, well, it's become a minor election issue that the Home Secretary Amber Rudd wants to have some controls over the internet, just to prevent that sort of thing.
With that said, what has been the response from the public?
Well, they can't figure out how it can be done.
Okay.
That's the problem. It's all well and good to say that there should be controls, but nobody can quite figure out how to organize controls, because how do you control it? I mean, you know, these things come out of countries like Libya,
right,
and Syria, Iran, Iraq, who have a completely different agenda, and we have no control over what goes on the internet in those countries.
You know,
and it's very difficult to block information that goes on the internet there and is read by people here.
That's a very important aspect of this conversation. And of course, it actually lends itself to another observation, Tom. And that, of course, is that Great Britain, the United Kingdom, London particularly, international community, and the communications has to be ongoing. It's important for the economy of, well, not only the United Kingdom, but I would argue even the rest of Europe, in light of the fact that we'll get into the issue of Brexit, in light of the fact that the United Kingdom is looking at exiting the European Union. It's still a major communications hub. It's a major financial and marketing environment. So, yes, it poses a real problem. I say that as an outsider looking in, but I can appreciate that. And I guess that is part of the conundrum that the folks there in Great Britain are facing at this point.
Well, absolutely. Let me just give you a couple of figures. I think something like 20-25% of America's trade is external. That mm-hmm. is aimed at external markets, because you have such a large domestic market.
Right.
Whereas in the case of Britain, it's more like 55-60% of all trade is external.
Now, let's move on to that leads to another discussion topic, and that, of course, having to do with the upcoming election. And Theresa May has called for an election in early June. First question, has that been delayed as a result of the Manchester bombing, the Manchester Arena bombing, or will it continue? I think, am I correct, June 8th? What's the date?
June the 8th. It has not been delayed. They're electioneering again in full swing. Everyone thought that Jeremy Corbyn was unelectable and that Labour Party would be completely annihilated at this election. And mm-hmm. I must admit that I was one of those people. But he is coming up in the polls.
I think
there's only five percentage points between him and Theresa May.
Now, it's interesting. Jeremy Corbyn, you've been very critical of him. Let's talk about this very quickly.
Well, he is a populist, but he's a populist on the left wing, on the far left.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would describe Donald Trump as a populist, but he's on the right wing. Marine Le Pen is on the right wing of populism. The same with the Alternative for Deutschland in Germany and Geert Wilders in Holland. Those are all on the right wing. Jeremy Corbyn has come out and basically said he wants to borrow £250 million. He has no real idea how it can be paid back. It's going to go on boosting the National Health Service,
mm-hmm.
Nationalizing a number of industries, and things like that. A traditional socialist agenda.
Now, the other aspect of this is that I read earlier today, Tom, that, and again, we're talking to you several days in advance of the election, June 8th, for the election there in the United Kingdom. And I read that there's still a feeling the Tories will win. It's just that it won't be sufficient to be a overwhelming majority in the parliament. Am I correct on that, as I understood it?
Yes, there could well be what's called a hung parliament. Now, the way the government works here is that the prime minister represents the majority party in the House of Commons.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, she has a 17-seat majority. She called the election because she said she needed a bigger majority in order to negotiate with the Europeans over Brexit. And it looks as if she may have a smaller majority or even have what's called, as I said, a hung parliament, whereas she may be the largest party, but doesn't have an overall majority. In which case, she may have to form, or would have to form, a coalition with another party. but I can't see any party wanting to be in coalition with the Conservatives.
All right, I'll tell you what, I want to get back to this right after the break. We're listening, of course, to an earlier program done today with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Viewpoints around the world here on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
This is Tom Arms with LookAheadNews.com's expanded world analysis for the week being the 5th of June. Look Ahead broadcasts tomorrow's news today so that you can plan to participate. Another big week for elections. On Thursday, Britain holds a general election. Prime Minister Theresa May called the snap poll to exploit a 25-point lead over opposition Labour Party, led by left-winger Jeremy Corbyn. The decision may turn out to have been a major political error, as the Conservative lead has dwindled to 5 points with the momentum behind Labour. In France on Sunday, President Emmanuel Macron takes the first step towards securing parliamentary support with the first round of parliamentary elections. The second round is on 18 June. There will also be a snap general election in Kosovo on Sunday, following the parliament's no-confidence vote against the government of Prime Minister Issa Mustafa. In Italy, there are local elections on Sunday and a referendum on statehood in Puerto Rico. The world's oceans and their limitless expanse has been taken for granted for centuries. On Monday, the UN is using World Oceans Day to convene a conference aimed at reversing the declining health of the ocean. Another big international organization, the OECD, holds its annual ministerial meeting in Paris on Monday and Tuesday. The meeting will be immediately followed on Wednesday with the publication of the annual OECD World Economic Outlook. Incirlik Air Base in Turkey is a vital NATO facility and a staging post for German troops in the Middle East. But because of strained German-Turkish relations, German lawmakers have been banned from visiting the base to check on the 250 German airmen based there. On Monday, German Foreign Minister Sigmar Gabriel flies to Ankara to try and resolve the dispute. European defense cooperation is a growing issue following the Brexit vote and strained relations between the EU and Donald Trump. On Wednesday, the European Commission publishes a reflection paper on the future of European defense. The paper will then be discussed at a high-level conference in Prague on Friday. In Brazil on Tuesday, the country's electoral court will hear a case that could potentially annul the 2014 election and force the resignation of President Michel Temer because of alleged illegal campaign financing. However, the case could take a year to be completed. Donald Trump's nominee for Labor Secretary, Andrew Posner, is in court next week. On Monday, he stands trial in a discrimination lawsuit filed by an employee of Posner's restaurant chain. Carter Page, a former foreign policy advisor to Donald Trump's campaign, on Tuesday testifies before a House Oversight Committee investigating alleged links between Russia and the Trump election campaign. And that was next week's news today, so that you can plan to participate in the world around you. Stay tuned for Viewpoints Around the World with myself and Lockwood Phillips.
Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And just to remind you, you can easily become a regular reader and member of LookAheadNews.com by just signing on and becoming a member of that readership, that blog. And it's free. And of course, Look Ahead Radio, heard on the station and stations around the world, literally and figuratively, heard here every Friday afternoon. Tom, we're chatting a few moments ago about the election in Great Britain and the, according to some polls, the erosion of support for the Tories, and of course, that being Theresa May. The topic, of course, is Brexit. And you mentioned a few moments ago in the earlier segment that there's been a focus on, if you will, social issues and socialist interest on the part of Jeremy Corbyn, who, by the way, has at times said some pretty outlandish things. I'm wondering, the bombing at Manchester Arena, is that in some way changing the focus of this election? I thought it would have strengthened the argument for Theresa May, because, of course, associated with the issue of the European Union has been a flood of refugees and immigrants. And, of course, Great Britain has had certain controls over those flow of newcomers. under new direction of the European Union. That, of course, was potentially going to change. I'm just a little surprised that this has not had a greater influence on the election as close as it is.
It has, but the opposite of what you would think. And to be honest, the opposite of what I thought. Jeremy Corbyn has come out and said, we need a change to our foreign policy so that we don't become a target. And what he means by that is that we should be more pro-Palestinian and that we should think about dropping out of the coalition that's bombing Syria.
Wow. I had that. Okay. So they see a cause and effect here as a result of that.
Yes.
That's, okay.
Well, let me put it this way. Jeremy Corbyn is making that case and he's making it very strongly.
To his
what
credit.
What he has said is, quote, we are losing the war on terror, and we have to adjust our foreign policy to reflect that. If we're going to protect the British people, which would be my number one priority as Prime Minister.
And of course, the other argument that Theresa May is making, that is current Prime Minister May is making, is that, and I saw this in the print earlier this morning, that Jeremy Corbyn would be naked, and no, I shouldn't say naked, he would be alone, and I gathered also naked, but alone in his negotiations with the European Union, that he would be negotiating in an empty room, that she's saying that he will get no respect from in the negotiations. She says that, in fact, she's better able at and stronger negotiator. Maybe she and President Trump have been talking about the art of negotiation.
Well, that has come under some that has been questioned. Hmm. Theresa May has been making a number of policy U-turns lately. And a lot of people are saying that she's not as strong as she claims to be. She's making these policy U-turns under pressure from her fellow MPs. And they're saying if she can't stand up to her own parliamentary party, how can she stand up to the European negotiators?
All right. That does pose a real problem. And of course, we're going to get into this conversation here in a few more minutes about the issue of international. Well, I would like to let's move to this. I want to go to the topic of British Airways computer failure, Tom, before we get to issues on the continent and the impact that has had on both the economy in the United Kingdom and its image. What impact has this had, any at all, on the elections? Is there any discussion? British Airways is apparently looking at yet a continuing decline in customer relations and a great expense. What impact could this have on the election?
Well, I don't think it's having a direct impact on the election. British Airways is now a private company.
Right.
But it's going to cost them over $120 million. That's the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just in straightforward compensation. How much it's going to cost them in terms of reputation is another story. And I don't think we've had the full story on exactly what happened either. British Airways is claiming that there was a power cut and that was immediately followed by a power surge with the wrong kind of power, and that wrong kind of power is in quotes, which nobody's ever heard of before. And a lot of people are casting doubt on that. Now, I think the reason they're casting doubt is because they're concerned that it was another hacking case.
Very interesting.
And that British Airways was the victim of a hack that went wrong or went right, as the case may be. And we've just had too many of them lately. There's been that the hacking last week in which the British National Health Service collapsed.
Right.
There's the alleged hacking into by the Russians in the U.S. elections. All sorts of different types of hacking going on, and it just indicates that we're just not prepared for cyber warfare.
Okay, and this, of course, segues back to Jeremy Corbyn's remarks about Theresa May and the circumstances. So is this all beginning to wrap up in the elections coming up June 8th? Is this all beginning to consolidate, if you will? as a campaign topic?
Yes, I mean, just a sort of general dissatisfaction.
Hmm.
People are not happy with the establishment. And I think if Jeremy Corbyn were to get in, it would be a vote against Theresa May in the same way that for a lot of people, Donald Trump was a candidate against Hillary Clinton, against the establishment.
Very interesting. That's I think a very astute observation. Tom Arms, of course, of lookaheadnews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Tom, I want to go back to the British Airways challenge. And of course, could not have happened at a worse time. Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, stranding. I can't imagine hundreds of thousands millions of travelers.
Hundreds of thousands. It was a long weekend here as well. It was called the May Day or the Maybank holiday. A lot of people take the time. The children are off school for a week.
Mm.
And so you can imagine they just disappear.
Well, and
London
and,
is empty.
And then
it's
on
wonderful for me. I cycle all over the place and there's no traffic.
Well, the other aspect of this, British Airways is a major carrier for Europe and to the States. So to have something of this nature happen, real quickly, before we go to the next break, has that had any impact on the economy there in the UK by any chance? Anything that is perceived as saying that the United Kingdom's economic condition is still fragile?
I don't think it's had any direct impact yet, other than $150 million or $120 million,
right,
which is obviously going to have to be paid out by British Airways. But one of the advantages that people, or one of the reasons people invest in Britain, move their offices here, is because London is such a great communications hub.
Right.
It's a place from which you can fly to almost anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if British Airways isn't working, then you can't fly.
Right. Interesting lineup or coincidence of events that have taken place there. All right, we're going to get back to another topic associated with the recent visit by President Trump to, the Middle East and then, of course, to Europe. Here this afternoon on Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World on the talk station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And as always, to remind you, Look Ahead Radio heard on radio stations around the world, literally and figuratively. Tom, we were chatting a few moments ago about the events in Great Britain, and of course, we spent a lot of time on the topic of the election upcoming. This is something that, of course, here in the States have been paying close attention to, particularly in relationship to the topic of Brexit, in light of the fact that Prime Minister Theresa May is representing Great Britain in the efforts to exit the European Union, which has not been a very well-received decision there by members of the European Union. Angela Merkel, who, of course, I will say that has been the Chancellor Merkel has been the leader of the European Union, has had a lot on her shoulders here over the past, I'm going to say randomly, 6 months, if not more. And she was recently paid a visit by President Trump. And he described, and apparently it's a matter of interpretation of the word bad, said that that Germany has been very bad on the issue of trade. And of course, this segues beautifully into the topic of the European Union as well. But before we even get into that announcement and the president's trip to the European community, and we can get into the issue of climate change as well and the climate accord, what has been the news coverage there in Europe, and particularly the United Kingdom?
Wow. They did not like Trump in Europe. They really didn't. He came over as crude, crass, and socially unacceptable. They made a big deal about him pushing the Prime Minister of Montenegro out of the way and then preening himself in front of the camera. They made a big deal out of him standing in front of all the other NATO heads of government and scolding them as if they were school children. They made a big deal out of the fact that he was so, well, what they regard as so difficult at the G7 summit in Sicily. And they've made a big deal about Angela Merkel saying, we can no longer rely on the US and we can no longer rely on the UK. Europe has to plow its own furrow and we've got to get on with life without them and basically screw Trump.
Well, you know,
without naming him.
Oh, that's fine. And the interesting thing is that this has had very little impact here in the States other than possibly the mainstream media, which has looked to try to make hay out of this these criticisms. But of course, the United States is so focused on the Russian connection even this has lost a lot of enthusiasm. All right. Let's talk about the response from Prime Minister Theresa May. Again, remembering she has an election coming up in a few weeks, June 8th, as a matter of fact. The criticism of the United Kingdom, how is that felt by the members of the press there in the United Kingdom and by this the grassroots?
I think they're more focused on the criticism of Trump than they are on the criticism of the UK.
Wonderful.
Because it's not a criticism. It's not a criticism of the prime minister. It's not a criticism of Theresa May. It's a criticism of the Brexit vote and of the British electorate. And Theresa May can always turn around and say, well, actually, you know, I voted to remain. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just carrying out the
right
decision of the British voting public. Whereas Donald Trump is taking American foreign policy in a completely new and different direction off his own bat, so to speak. There is a feeling that when Trump was speaking in Sicily and when he was speaking at NATO headquarters, he was speaking for a domestic audience. And he was trying to present himself as the person who is going to stand up to the Europeans on behalf of America and tell them where to go.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that is some of the feelings here in the States. But also, we don't quite frankly see this as an overly difficult situation or dangerous situation. And I want to get to the president of France, Mr. Macron, and Putin here in just a few moments. But we here in the States don't see this as being a critical issue. Is it felt to be critical there in the UK and in Europe?
Yes.
Wow. Is it because of Russia?
No. It's because of climate change. It's because of protectionism, and it's because of Russia. It's all of those things.
All right.
Climate change is absolutely critical, central to the foreign policy of the Europeans and other people as well. The Chinese have made it a central plank in their foreign policy, and the fact that Trump appears to be unwilling to make any concessions towards the Paris Climate Change Agreement is really driving people absolutely bonkers.
Why?
Talking about the possibility of not defending members of NATO who are not spending 2% is also very worrying for people. The fact that he is also not prepared to sign up to agreements on against protectionism is also very worrying. And they are very, very concerned about it.
Okay. So that's important for us to know. But at the same time, the whole issue is, why is there such a concern that the U.S. be, well, for example, a signatory on the Paris Climate Change Agreement? The U.S. has been working anyhow to reduce its carbon footprint. What difference would it make if in their opinion, and a very quick response, but does this generate any kind of political difficulty for and or economic difficulty for members of the European Union and those who want to sign on to the accord?
Yes, of course it does. Oh. I mean, you know, the United States produces a huge percentage of the carbon emissions in the world. And these emissions travel not all around the world. They're not just staying within American borders.
But the U.S. has been the most aggressive of all the nations in reducing its carbon.
In the past.
Well.
In the past. But you now have an environment secretary or the head of the EPA who's firing all the members of the EPA and hiring oil executives.
Well,
it's like putting the poachers in charge of the chicken coop.
But wait a second. The issue here, and I have to bring this up, is that it's been manufacturers in the European community, BMW and VW most specifically, that have worked most to get around the rules. It's just something that we find a little confounding here. I want to move on to other issues because we've got to move to a next break. Let's talk about the new president of France, Macron, and Putin, and also, what's the feeling there between France and the rest of Europe? He immediately left and went to visit with Chancellor Merkel 2 weeks ago. What's happening there with the French and Russian relations?
They love him.
They do.
They love him. First of all, everyone is surprised. He seems to have leapt as a fully fledged statesman straight onto the world stage. They like the fact that he appears to have stood up to President Trump, that the white knuckle handshake, as they call it, was, as Macron said, not a mistake. Mm-hmm. It was for real. He did it for a reason. They like the fact that he has put President Putin in his place and that he's done it in a very, very diplomatic manner.
How did he put President Putin in his place?
Well, basically, he said that he did not appreciate the fact that President Putin was using his state-controlled media, by which I mean Russia Today and Sputnik, to spread propaganda about Macron. And that there was a reason that Russia Today and Sputnik had been banned from Macron's offices. And the reason is because they're state-owned organs of the media.
Right. Okay. So there's a growing resistance to President Putin. And of course, we get into the issue of the influence of his military efforts and NATO. Is there a sense that... go ahead.
Yeah. Can I just add, though, when he said that, he also smiled at Putin and said, but I'm certain we can sort out our differences.
Oh, well, that's no different than trying to develop back channel relations from the United States as well. I had to put that in. All right. Let's talk about the issue of Estonia. And real quickly, before we go to the break, you've got computer voting there. Is there some concern that Russia may play a role in that?
Well, the Estonians say no. Now, it's funny. The Estonians have really grabbed the technical developments, the digital age, with both hands. And they were the ones, for instance, who developed Skype. Mm-hmm. And at the age of 10, children are learning computer programming in the schools.
Wow.
They're really pursuing this in a big way. And one thing they've done is to sort of showcase their e-technology is to introduce internet voting. Now, they're one of the few countries, I think they're the only country in the world that's doing that, and some people are very worried about it. But the Estonians say it's very secure. I was talking today to a chap called Ben Thomas, who works for a company which specializes in developing electronic voting systems through computers.
Mm-hmm.
They do it mainly for things like trade unions and corporate organizations, shareholders meetings and things like that. But they themselves said that they would not favor having an all-electronic voting system.
Oh,
that it might be a good thing to have alongside the paper ballots for those people who can't get to polling stations, but they wouldn't favor having an all-electronic system. And they're in the business.
Interesting. I look forward to seeing the results of this, as I'm sure. When is their election?
Oh, not for a long time yet.
Okay. All right. So it's not to be determined anytime soon. All right. Yep. Just to remind you, we have joining us this afternoon, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com. And of course, Look Ahead Radio. And of course, you're listening to Viewpoints Around the World here on the Talk Station FM 107 AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from lookaheadnews.com. There's a growing tendency on the part of the public and its leaders to believe what they want to believe, to hear what they want to hear, and to see what they want to see. Decision-making based on tried and tested scientific methods have been jettisoned and replaced with policies founded on short-term expediency. Hard decisions have been repeatedly postponed because they're politically unpalatable. Or, alternatively, they have simply been ignored. Next week, there's a dangerous example of this blinkered approach to world problems. The UN Conference on the Future of the Oceans, which, appropriately enough, coincides with World Oceans Day. There's more water than Earth on Earth. 3/4 of our planet's surface is covered by oceans. Of the estimated 8.7 million plant and animal species, 2.2 million are found under the surface of the water. The oceans provide roughly 15% of the world's food and jobs for about 10% of the human workforce. Scientists say that the oceans absorb 9/10 of the greenhouse gas emissions that are pumped into the air by factories and car exhausts. They play a major role in controlling the weather. Hurricanes form in the South Atlantic and travel to the Caribbean and North Atlantic. The Gulf Stream makes Northern Europe habitable, and El Niño affects weather patterns across the globe. Coral reefs provide vital nitrogen and nutrients for the planet's food chain. They are spawning grounds for most of the fish we eat, and they protect coastlines from damaging wave action and tropical storms. And yet, because of human pollution, it has been estimated that the coral reefs could disappear by 2050. Because the oceans are vast expanses which stretch beyond the horizon and to unplumbed depths, they've been viewed by successive generations either as a limitless resource or an immense dumping ground. For millennia, it has been the repository for human sewage. But since the start of the 20th century, its role as a huge, watery trash can has grown exponentially. Between 1946 and 1993, 13 countries used the oceans to dump nuclear waste. Barrels filled with radioactive materials are gradually deteriorating and releasing radiation from the ocean floor. But that is not all. An estimated 200 million tons of toxic waste are deposited in the world's oceans every year. Plastics, toys, tools, bags, clothing. They become one of the worst contaminants. They're easily and quickly ground into tiny pieces by wave action so that they're easily consumed by fish and seabirds. It is estimated that 100,000 sea turtles and seabirds are poisoned each year by plastic materials. But it's not just the sea animals that suffer. Although plastics are easily ground down, they are not biodegradable, and they contain dangerous elements such as lead, cadmium, and mercury. The fish eat the plastic. The elements enter their bloodstream and are deposited in their muscles, fat tissues, and organs. Humans eat the fish. Some marine scientists are now refusing to eat fish. The pollution of the world's oceans is so bad and so extensive that even the bottom of the Mariana Trench, the deepest point in the world's oceans, has been discovered to be covered in human-generated pollutants. So, what is being done about this? Very little. The UN conference in New York is one of a long string of such talk fests. Since 1988, it has been illegal for ships to dump plastics in the oceans, but it still occurs. Britain on its own dumped 8 million tons of plastic in 2015 alone. Nothing is done because it is inconvenient to do something. Jobs, profits, dividends, and entrenched work practices are based on the false assumption that the oceans are so immense as to be able to accommodate our waste forever. This assumption clearly contradicts the basics of scientific observation. It even contradicts the basics of common sense. Politicians need to assume a leadership role, stand up to special interests, remove the blinkers, and use meetings such as the UN conference next week to force through binding international agreements to protect future generations.
Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, and we are wrapping it up here with him this afternoon. We've been talking about, elections. So that's big issue there in both Europe and, I would argue, in other areas around the country, but around the world as well. But, Tom, the topic goes to one that I saw a story on, and that is Africa, particularly South Africa. And we've got an issue of South African succession. And this is a big story, which has not been getting a lot of play. So I want to give you some few minutes, 2 minutes or so, to talk to us about this.
Well, I think it should be getting more play, because I think Africa is going to become more important. And the two countries which are the economic engines in Africa are South Africa and Nigeria. So it's important that you have political stability in those two countries. Now, in South Africa, you've had the African National Congress, which has been in power ever since the days of Nelson Mandela, since they had the elections after he was released and became president. The new leader is a chap called Jacob Zuma, and I think it's fair to say that he's actually corrupt.
Oh, that's an understatement.
He has 783 different criminal charges for fraud, corruption, and racketeering outstanding. But he's able to hide behind his presidential immunity. Now, he's trying to engineer it. They've got elections coming up next year, and he's trying to engineer it so that his wife is elected president. Mm. And the reason he wants his wife elected president is so that he'll be pardoned.
There have been also some issue of properties taken and literally stolen, and some redevelopment issues. Are there not? I mean, this.
Oh yes, there's a whole host of things. You know, one thing, he had the state build virtually a village or a compound for his family, and then a 14-mile road,
right,
to connect that village to the highway.
I want to move on to the final topic.
Stop stuttering. I know it's...
It's something. This is an important story. And we don't have enough time today. But I think, Tom, that Africa is going to become more of an issue once we get a handle on the events in the Middle East. Would you agree to that?
Absolutely. I mean, Africa is just chock-a-block with minerals, and raw materials, which we need.
Right.
So, and they really haven't been fully exploited. And there's the additional problem that the ones who are exploiting it are the Chinese.
Right. And I think that's a big issue, one that we've been so focused on items such as the Middle East and Afghanistan and of course, there are issues in the Arctic as well. The world is not as calm as it could be. Tom, let's wrap it up with one humorous story here. Qantas Airlines... Well, apparently a pie in the face situation. What happened?
Yeah, airline bosses aren't doing very well.
No, they're not.
You know, I mean, you know, we got all this problem with United. We have British Airways, and we even have the Australian airline Qantas, where the chief executive, Alan Joyce, was hit with a cream pie right in the face.
How come?
A man just came out of the audience at a conference and smashed the pie into his face.
Was he unhappy?
I have to give credit to Mr. Joyce. He was completely nonplussed. He just turned around and said, "I don't recognize the taste." Now, I can exclusively reveal that it was lemon meringue.
How do we know that?
I have my sources.
Okay.
I cannot reveal. I'm a good journalist. I don't reveal my sources.
All right. We will keep
that. But it was lemon meringue pie.
Lemon meringue pie. We've got it on good sources here from Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, with viewpoints around the world. Tom, good evening to you.
Good evening, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world here on the talk station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of the Talk Station.